The world of Greek mythology is as rich and fascinating as it can be. And although the civilization may not exist anymore, we can still cherish the literature, the myths, and the gods of ancient Greeks. A lot of you have been asking for recommendations on this subject. And I would recommend one book in particular if you want to explore the Greek myths in great detail. It's called The Greek Myths and it's written by Robert Graves. And the book pretty much covers all the myths, all the famous myths that are there to be explored from the ancient Greece. And if you are slightly more into humor, and would want to tread into this world slightly casually, slightly with humor, then I would recommend Mythos by Stephen Fry. And in its audiobook version, in fact, it is narrated by Stephen Fry, so that adds another layer of charm. So in today's podcast, I will give you a very basic idea of the creation myth of the ancient Greeks, what they believed about it, how the time began in their world, who were the earliest gods, what did they do, and how it all started. So in this podcast, I'll talk about that and I'll take help of multiple sources apart from the couple of books that I've mentioned, so stay with me. The beginning of time is a bit murky in Greek mythology. There are many variations, and especially in the order of the things that happened. But I'll present you the most plausible explanations that we have about this mythology. So let's go to the beginning of the universe. In the beginning, there was chaos, or chaos as it was said in Greek. But if you trace this term, the original meaning of chaos wasn't really the confusion or disorder that we usually ascribe to this word. In Greek mythology, it meant a sort of formless or a void state. It was more like a gap or a space that existed. So, philosophically speaking, from this formless chaos arose the forms. And from the depth of this chaos came Gaia, that is, the earth itself. This earth was beautiful. She separated heaven from earth, water from land, and air from space. And then she gave birth to Uranus, or as we say in Greek, Uranus. Uranus in this case refers to sky. And the sky, in turn, it created rains to fashion the mountains, rivers, animals, and plants. And Gaia, on the other hand, also gave rise to the night, the sea, and the underworld that was buried deep inside her. And then Gaia and Uranus, they mated to create the first of their many children, the 12 Titans. Huge and powerful gods. And the most significant of their offspring was Cronus, who will soon play an important role in this whole story, and we'll come to that. Then there were the second set of gods born from Gaia and Uranus. They were called the Cyclopes. So that's how they created many offsprings. Uranus, who seems to be a reasonable person, a reasonable leader, and all the gods were quite happy under his rule. However, a twist comes in the story, and Uranus, he himself develops some kind of dislike of his own offspring. And it's hard to understand why that happens, but it slowly grows into a really passionate hatred. And then he does something terrible. He decides to stop his children from existing, and he shoves them back into Gaia's womb, which is told as some kind of the hidden and secret parts of the earth. This quite naturally infuriates the earth, and she first pleads and cries for help, but when she knows that he's not going to change his mind, then she plots with Cronus, one of her offsprings, as I mentioned earlier. Now she wanted to punish Uranus. In fact, she went to many of her children to persuade them to kill Uranus, but none of them really agreed. They found different sorts of excuses. But Cronus, he agrees. And the two decide to punish Uranus in a really bad way. So the next time when Uranus comes to lie with her, with the earth, Cronus, who was inside the womb of his mother, he cuts off his father's genitals and casts them bleeding onto the earth. And here's a spoiler for you in terms of Greek mythology. This won't be the first time or the only time when a son usurps his father. So now the triumphant Cronus, he becomes the king, he frees all his siblings and marries Rhea, his sister. And that again is a common theme in the creation myth of Greek mythology. Incest is pretty much a normal thing there. So the two, Rhea and Cronus, they produce 6 children, and one of them is Zeus. Somehow, Cronus becomes aware of a prophecy that he'll be unseated by one of his children. So what he does is, each time a child is born, he swallows them alive. This obviously hurt his wife and sister Rhea, and she wanted to protect her child. So when it came to Zeus, she secretly sends him away, and she wraps a large stone in swaddling clothes and hands it to Cronus, who immediately swallows it down. Zeus, in another part of the world, he grows up into a formidable warrior. And at some point, he returns to Olympus as some sort of a cupbearer to Cronus. So Zeus and some of his siblings, who were alive at that time, they joined forces together to fight the father. And this creates some kind of rivalry between the Olympian gods, who were led by Zeus, and the Titans, who were led by Cronus. So the gods are fighting among themselves, and that is another theme that you will find in Indian mythology as well. Eventually, Zeus prevails and he defeats Titans, and now they are banished, with exceptions of a few. Now, at this point, two of the Titan brothers, Epimetheus and Prometheus, they had sided with Zeus, They were tasked with creating the first mortal men. And this is where you get men from the gods. And that's how the story of human civilization begins. And that is just the gateway to the myths of the ancient Greece. And I'm sure when you read the book, any of them, the two I mentioned, or any other, if you find time to pick, you're going to have a great time. And the world is going to surround you for a long, long time.